So today, we're going to finish up, and this is going to be, I'm going to call it kind of a pep rally. It may not start there, but it's going to end up there, okay? We've been in a seven-week series. We don't do that many seven-week series. It's been great. We reviewed the words. We'll come back to them at the end. But today, it's appropriate because the last one is simply this, finisher. And as followers of Jesus, that really needs to describe who we are and what we do. If we're following Jesus, how can we help but finish? Because he's already finished it. He's finished the work. The power is available. So I want to talk about that. And I know the atmosphere that I'm talking in because, I mean, just like Pastor Joel prayed, there's people at every end of the spectrum and on the journey. And there's a lot of you that feel like giving up or some think you have given up. And I want to give you a wake-up call today and say, just because you've stopped doesn't mean you've given up. You hear me? Look at me. Just because you've stopped doesn't mean it's over. Doesn't mean you've given up. Doesn't mean you quit. And I want to re-encourage that. But let me just hit this because I'm aware when I talk to people, there's people everywhere, emotions, family, relationships, I know that. But maybe I'm talking to you today and online as well. Welcome. We're so glad to have you and want to include you in our family. Reach out, connect with us. We love to connect with you. People here and there, we're amazed by how many people are being reached through this medium. But maybe at one time you knew for sure that there was a dream or a vision deep in your heart. God placed it there. And you began with great anticipation and enthusiasm, and then along the way, you met some turbulence. How many of you know it's turbulent? When we were flying back from Florida, I think it was, when we crammed 3 hours into 27 hours, that was a trip, the captain came on, hey, fasten your seatbelts, you're going to be experiencing turbulence. And you know, turbulence can lead us to actually stalling out. And then some of you have started coasting. And you know what? There's only one way to go when you start coasting for very long. Which way is it? Up or down? Yeah, you're going to go down. You can't go up when you're coasting. Some of you are there. You started so well, but you're just coasting, and you may think it's over. You're frustrated. You may be discouraged. You want to keep going, but you honestly feel like quitting. We've talked about that a lot through this series. Remember that we have to get to the place as followers of Christ where our want to trumps our feel like it. And you shouldn't feel guilty about your feel like it today because feelings come and go. They're changeable as the Ohio weather is, as you know. So I could go through the realities of life. You're holding on for relationships with hope. It seems like it's gotten worse. Fighting to save a marriage, but you're running out of fight. There's grands or children you've been praying for salvation. For them to come back to God, they seem more distant. You're praying for financial provision, but you're in a worse place. You're trying to overcome something that only you know or others know of, an addiction, but you haven't seen results. You're discouraged, and you're just rapidly losing hope. I want to speak to all of you today. So when you feel like giving up, and that's normal, you may feel like quitting. We all have at one time or another. But I just want to encourage you to keep praying and keep staying in the fight. And I want to talk about that today from the words of Paul. So through this series, we've been reiterating that the quality of your decisions, daily decisions, directly impact the quality of your life. In other words, where you're living today is based upon decisions you've been making for quite some time. Not just decisions you made this week, but the last week and the month before, the year before. Because you make decisions, and then those decisions make you. And so we've been challenging you to choose wisely. Wisely, we're so decision-challenged, it seems, overwhelmed by life. And we've been saying that it's so important to decide ahead of time. We live such reactive lives, and that's back to our feelings. We're blown by the wind of our feelings, and we live reactively. That is not the way to finish spiritually, to live reactively. We've got to live responsibly. And which is responsibly, by the way. Responsibly. Decide ahead of time. So this phrase we've shared over and over. When I'm faced with whatever situation, you fill it in. And I think sometimes we're inactive because we hear a message or a series like this. And we think of 5, 6, or 7. We're saying, just think of one thing. When I'm faced with this situation, one thing, I have settled it. I will take this action. That's choosing ahead of time. Not 5 things, but when I'm faced with this situation, I will take this action. So our words have been decisive, ready, consistent, devoted, generous, faithful, and today, a finisher. I believe that you want to be a finisher in your heart, but the sad truth is this. How many of you know it's way easier to start than it is to finish? I mean, we start with a flourish, and then somewhere we tend to fizzle out. It's not easy to finish. It's not easy to see things through. So what is it that separates the average or less than from truly amazing? What's the difference between a fulfilled life and an empty life? It's not in the gifts or talents you have. It's not in your parents or education. None of those things. Really, the difference is whether or not you persevere, whether or not you stay with it, whether or not you finish. Come on. I've really seldom met people who feel good about not finishing things. I don't know if anybody likes to look in the mirror and say, "Hi, Nathan, you're a quitter." Right? What a lousy thing that can mess with you. A social worker, Angela Duckworth, she wrote these words. She said she studied a wide range of people from business backgrounds, military teachers, I mean, young students, whatever. And listen, the top characteristic or quality she identified was what she called grit. Grit. Somebody gave me a great acronym for grit, but I forget what they told me, so I should have written it down. But grit, when I was a youth pastor, my teens inappropriately called people grits, and you can imagine the connotation of that. I corrected them, of course. But the strength of character, she means by grit, the strength of character that refuses to quit, it's a willingness to stay in the fight, even when you've taken a few punches. A willingness, regardless of how you feel, to stay in the fight. Enthusiasm is so common at the start, but endurance is a rare quality. And it takes endurance to finish any race. I think it's true that many people, and most maybe, take the path of least resistance, like the water did when your pipes froze or whatever happened recently. The water goes wherever it will and causes destruction. So the big decision today, as you hear this, to be a finisher, is that I want to bring you to the point where you say with conviction, not condemnation. There's no condemnation in this message today. It's a conviction that said, when I commit, I don't quit. Is that kind of person that the Lord knows you are? Is that the kind of person your family, your partner knows? Is that what you're known for? As lifelong followers of Jesus, we stay with it. You know, I was reflecting yesterday, I tell you often, as I was privileged to officiate moms at the end, at Memorial at the end, I just said, you know, the lifers that I've been around, and there's some of you, but familiar faces from days gone by, said, your love for Jesus proves for me more than anything that the gospel is real, because I've seen you live it out. And you know what I was thinking yesterday? Gulp. You know who is now on the front row? We are. Because all the generations are gone, and we're there. And I want to finish well because they finished well. And that's why we stay in the fight, because I had so many great examples before me. And I want to finish well. I want to pass the baton on. So for our encouragement today, let's go to the life and writings of Paul. And you may think he was extremely gifted and all that. He was a theologian and all those things. But what a humble man of God. And he had the credibility to write this because he was a finisher, wasn't he? It may have not finished the way he thought it was going to when he started out, because he was there, listen to this, in prison, sentenced to death, in prison, waiting execution. And while there, his breath and his days were numbered, but while there, he made every day, every breath, every moment count. And he wrote in these words an emotional farewell to his spiritual son, Timothy, and we can draw from his example. So let me jump in, 2 Timothy chapter 4. So this is what he's writing, but when, I don't know about you, when I read God's word, I don't just read Timothy, I put myself in that. He's not just talking to Timothy, he's talking to us today. He's talking to you today, right where you are. The Bible's real and relevant where we are. It's not just about some ancient cultures and people that are gone and in heaven. No, it's here and real. So these are words to you and me and to Timothy. But you, man, that's when I read it, but you, that means me, okay? But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. You know, that's a part of it. Got it? That's a part of it. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out, there's a word, fully carry out, that means finish, the ministry God has given you. What it is, great or small, it doesn't matter. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. All kinds of sermons have been organized around those three points over the years. Fought, finished, faithful. And now, because of that, the prize awaits me, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. How many of you know that includes us too? It includes you where you are. So he's encouraging Timothy, very young, don't be afraid of suffering. It happens. Tribulation and trials come. It will happen. That's a part of being a follower of Jesus. You are not immune from hard struggles. I love my text source, Dave. He texts some of you, but some time ago he texts this. I love it. He said, faith is not about everything turning out okay. And we hear it taught us that. If you have enough faith, everything's going to turn out. Come on, that doesn't fly. But I love the second part. What faith is about is being okay no matter how things turn out. Did you catch that? That's the essence of faith. That makes your life worth following. That makes you a finisher when you know that things are going to be okay regardless of how they turn out. Your faith is solid. Timothy, your primary calling and ours, keep telling others the good news about Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Don't stop doing what God has specifically called you to do. Fully carry out this task to completion. It may not finish the way you think it should, but I'm in control. Keep going. I've already poured out my life before the Lord. I fought, I finished, I've been faithful, and I want you to do the same. I've almost finished, Timothy, but you haven't. There's more to come. There's more ahead for you. No matter what's been behind, there's more to come. So if you are discouraged today and feel like quitting or think you might have, it's in the words of the song, and I forget which song it is. If you're not dead, you're not done. Some of you need to notify yourself. You need to look in the mirror and go, you're not dead, so you're not done. What's that song? Is that a name of a song or is it just a phrase in the song? Phrase in it. What's the song?
My testimony.
My testimony. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. Thank you. I need you to fact check me here today. You know, honestly, some of our lives are so unattractive because we're like death waiting to happen. We've already quit and given up. None of you watching today online, none of you in this room are dead, so you are not done according to God's word. You're not done. He has called you to finish. You may have stopped, you may be coasting, but he's calling you to re-engage. He's calling you to engage right where you are. There's more. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit. I think whatever's ahead, no matter what length of time it is, I believe God can do more with that than what's been behind us. Do you? As I surrender it to him. David Allard wrote in Getting Things Done, he said, much of the stress people feel doesn't come from having too much to do. It comes from not finishing what we've started. Agreed? It isn't that we have too much to do. It's that we're not good at following through and completing what we've been given to do, even what God has called us to do. So we go palms up in prayer, and that's what Paul did. He went palms up to receive and to give, to pour out. What has God prompted you to do that you haven't done? What are you not doing in finishing? You think it's too late. I've got news for you. God's Spirit doesn't use the word T-O-O. You're too old, too late, too anything. You understand? That is all the enemy. Just take the 200 and cross it out and go, that's the enemy speaking. That's the father of lies. That's the accusers of brothers and sisters. No, no, no. It's not too late. It's not too late. But we need some adjustment. Revelation 3 said about the church in Sardis, you know, I know what you've done, but you have the reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in my sight. I want my deeds to be complete in his sight, don't you? That's a wake-up call. So here I ask you again. I can't answer this. Your spouse can't answer this. Nobody can answer this, really, but you. Do you have unfinished business in your life? And if so, what is it? Name it. Again, please don't think of 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 things. Just ask the Holy Spirit in this message to show you one thing only, unfinished business. Would you do that? Just ask him where you are. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. You know what you were God prompted to do. I don't care how long ago it was. You were supposed to do it. You thought about doing it. You were going to do it. Maybe you may have even made this enthusiastic start. You were hoping to do it, hoping to continue, but you haven't done it, and now you just feel like you've quit. You're supposed to say it or give it or share it or reach out and touch and teach it or join it or lead it or serve it or whatever. The advice in 2 Corinthians 8, Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first to step up. You wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it now. Verse 11, now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now. That takes endurance. You got to be a finisher. And I'll talk more about that. I'll say it again. If you're not dead, you're not done. And while you're at it, notify your face that you're not dead. I think that's one place, people that get in hard places, you go around with a long Eeyore look. What's the point? That's when it's more intentional than anything. You have to notify your face. You have to smile and laugh and bring joy to others. You may be in a hard place, but how many know the way out of it is bringing joy and life to others? So notify yourself. Speak to yourself. I ain't dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive in Christ. What is your unfinished business? I don't know. But when you take a step and get started where you are, you're voting with confidence for your future. You're voting for hope. When you don't back down and quit, you're voting to be a finisher. When Chad Varga was here, he told us a story off mic, I think it was. Where was that personally that he was talking to us or in a group? I don't remember. Oh, it was here. He was talking about being at a book signing and somewhere in the Carolinas, and a lady came to the table and she said, "I'm Michael Jordan's grandmother," and he was blown away that and she said, I think she said something about she made one of the book for him. I don't remember. But the long and short of it, he said, opportunity, wanted to see if it was real. She said, "Is it really true what we've heard that Michael Jordan got cut somewhere in high school? I don't remember what year of school it was, sophomore year or something, but he got cut." And she said, "Oh, that is correct." She said, and she said, "When he got cut, he went up to his room and screamed and cried and cried and cried. And then he got a basketball late at night and went out and started shooting hoops. Because he said, I'm not going to be a quitter. And the rest is history." What would have happened if he would have said, "I got cut once, I'm out of here, I'm done"? No, that may have driven him to not be a quitter and to become the guy that was unstoppable, that nobody could ever stop. One of the greatest players ever. I remember the same thing. I've always been a Pete Maravich fan. If any of you remember, that's a name in the past. But when I was in high school, I remember watching games. He scored 60-some or 70-some points, like on TV. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I remember reading one of his books, his biography, autobiography probably, and he said something. He said, "I just couldn't put the ball down because I realized that if I wasn't out there, if I stopped, somebody would be in the gym, somebody would have that ball, and they'd get a step ahead of me." So he said, I was going to outwork everybody. He said, there was no way I was going to quit. Yeah. We want so many times what others have, and we want to achieve the things and successes they have, but the key is that they refuse to quit. They finished. And what story is unwritten in your life if today you feel called and you answer the call, if you resume the journey that you thought you'd quit on? Hey, look at me. God's not quit on you. You hear me? God has not quit on you. So, a life declaration. You may see me struggle. I believe in declarations with the mouth. Does anybody believe those? And you say those things ahead of time. So many times we make declarations based upon who we've been and where we've been, but I believe in making them ahead of time. So we could say something like this: you may see me struggle, but you won't see me quit. Look at me. You may see me struggle, and you will, but you will not see me quit. Because when I commit, I do not quit. I'm a finisher. And I want to get that in your spirit, and I want you seriously to stand before your mirror and wherever you go. When you're driving your car, I want you to say, I am a finisher. God knows the circumstance of things are in that I never where I thought I'd be, but I am a finisher. I am a finisher. I am a finisher. And you need to declare that before that ever comes to be. You haven't finished, but I believe you need to declare it now. We think it's cheesy to sometimes to say that, but I just want you to say it out loud with passion. I am a finisher. Say it. Now I want you to go, I am a finisher, and accent the finisher, okay? Come on, with some gusto. I am a All right. Some of you, the hardest person you to convince is not somebody else, it's yourself. To really believe God's call in your life. I love it. Acts 20:24. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task. That sounds like a finisher. The Lord Jesus has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Nothing is more powerful than a testimony of maybe Paul's worst place of in jail at the threat of losing his life. His life was going to be extinguished. I want to tell you, where you are with the rough time, the turbulence you've been through, that's the best place for testimonies to be born of. How many of you know that? Because people know you've been through the fire, but you refuse to quit. People know that you haven't been dealt fairly with, but you've refused to quit. They may not know all the circumstances, but you do, and God knows, and you refuse to quit. Exactly. And I want to share the gospel through the testimony of my life. That's what Dixie's mother did. She was a soft-spoken gal, behind the scenes, a worker and a server and a lover. Didn't do things up, well, she sang and all that, but I mean, she was behind the scenes. But people followed her example. She left huge footprints for her kids and grands and great-grands to follow. I love that. I love that. Okay, so let's get practical here. We're winding. Why wouldn't Paul quit? Look it up, Google it, and find out all the things he suffered, you know, beating, shipwrecks, just on and on and on. I mean, he suffered it all. Horrible, horrible, horrible. He suffered it. He was so qualified to quit. I mean, Paul could have been a quitter and nobody could have criticized him for it, right? He had a cushy life as a religious person, and he met Jesus and everything changed and went crazy in his life. But here's the key. Listen, do you know why Paul persevered, why he endured, why he finished? Because he believed with conviction, not condemnation, but conviction with passion, that he was running for God's pleasure, God's glory. We hear all the time, psychologists tell us all the time, that the why changes everything. Why are you doing what you're doing? I referred to earlier the Chariots of Fire, and maybe you haven't seen it, but you know Eric Liddell. And he was a Christian runner, Olympic quality runner, and he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And that's exactly what we're saying here. Paul said, I have a high calling to share the gospel. Even when it seems to be going south, I'm gonna do that to the end of my final breath, and I'm gonna finish it because I believe God gets glory through finishers. God doesn't get glory through quitters. God gets glory through finishers. I'm gonna keep sharing the good news of the resurrected Christ. That was an obsession with Paul. One of my best friends I've never met, named Andre Crouch, who went to be with Jesus some years ago now, I think I read or heard maybe at his memorial that I watched online, they said that on his deathbed in the hospital, he was literally winning people to Jesus. He'd say to doctors and nurses that came in, I got to tell you about Jesus. I got to tell you about Jesus. I got to tell you about Jesus. He can change your life. Andre was a finisher. He wasn't on the piano bitch singing and playing anymore, but he was still sharing the gospel with every ounce that he had left. Maybe God's called you to a task. I don't know what it is. But you care more about doing something else. You've gotten off on a rabbit trail. Something looked not as steep or not as rough, and you took that place, and you're doing something else rather than running the race that God has set before you. Maybe you didn't even aim to, but you're pursuing personal comforts or your own agenda, net worth accumulating. You're serving people's opinions or your own personal hopes and dreams. I don't know what it is. But would you say with me today, since I have settled it, I consider fill in the blank worth nothing compared to pleasing him and finishing well. Could the Holy Spirit show you one thing that you'd say my life is worth nothing compared to this? This one thing. How do you run and finish well? I think some of you think it's about the speed. Somebody told me the way out, said, I don't expect to run across the line. I'm just going to limp or crawl. That's fine. I don't care how you get there. Look at me. It's about finishing. You hear me? It's about finishing. It's not about how fast you go. It's not even about how far you go. It's just about finishing whatever that may be, whatever that looks like. I've settled it. I'm going to take one step forward today in this moment. And then I'm going to just take the next step. I can't go to start to finish overnight. It won't happen in an instant, but I'm going to take one step. I'm going to get up from where I've fallen, and I'm going to take a step forward. Jesus was a great example of this. He took the next step and the next step, knowing what the final outcome would be. But he kept taking the next step, and his cross cry was what? It is what? It is finished. Do you think he meant it? That was after he was hated and he loved in return. That was after he was struck in the face and turned the other cheek. That's after he fell carrying the cross and stood up and continued. That was after he was mocked on the cross and forgave them, the mockers, all. They don't know what they do. Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to do the will of the Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Can we do less? That's the prayer of the finisher. Your kingdom come, your will be done, O Lord. The gravitational pull is to what's easy and convenient. Satan will do anything to trip you up, to stall you out, to get you to stop what God told you to start. When you commit, don't quit. Pray another prayer. Keep on. Make another call. Give one more gift. Forgive again. Send another email. Ask for another meeting. Go another mile. Memorize that verse. Claim that promise. Declare that promise. Talk to your child or grand again. Show up. Keep showing up. Keep doing what's right over time. Keep dreaming. Keep running for God one step at a time. When you fail, when you fall, get back up and quit going. You don't go back to start again. You pick up from where you left off and move forward. So help you God. What do you do when your strength is gone? You're frustrated. You feel horrible. You feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. What do you do? What do you do? When you have no power of your own, by God's grace, you take another step. Some of you might remember this story. It's old. Some of you didn't discover America or your part of the world when this happened. But in 1992, the Olympic Games. Does anybody remember where you were watching them? 400-meter run. Derek Redmond. He was a British sprinter who was a favored, he was favored for a medal in the 400-meter race. He got off to a great start. I was watching it on TV. Huge strides, tearing up the track. But midway through the race, he literally ruptured his hamstring. His hamstring just blew out. And he fell to the track in agony and pain, writhing, holding his leg. His Olympic hopes dashed in a minute. Does anybody remember that story? I don't want you to think I'm making it up. You can check it out, Derek Redmond. Pull it up. Watch it. In one of the most emotional moments in history, sports history, on TV, Derek's father left the stands, came down to the track where his son had fallen, could not get on. He helped his son up and half carried and dragged him across the finish line. Listen. Derek didn't win the race, but he finished. I don't know the rest of his story. I didn't look and Google to see where he is today, but I guarantee you that had to make a huge life. And you know, that's a good lesson in life too, because he couldn't make it on his own, and we need each other as well. True? And that's exactly what Jesus does. He carries us when we can't go on, for sure. But let me challenge you with this as I close, and we're going to sing. Since I've settled it, I consider what? Worth nothing to me. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. He hasn't come back yet. And until he does, until we draw our first breath in heaven, we need to keep on the journey and run all the way through. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't think they're faster, they're more gifted. That matters not. He has called you to be a finisher. Be confident of this. You never run alone. He will carry you. He will carry you. Nate, you might remember this. Are you out here? Yeah. You remember Tim Shepard? Remember we used to play that cassette tape? So I just thought of that this morning. I was going over my notes one final time. Didn't do this in first. I got flustered when my mic went off and was all distracted, and I was shouting at everybody for most of the message. But listen to this. It's a song called I Am Determined. Listen to his words. This great singer, you can pull him up from years gone by, but touching. Darkness around me, sorrow surrounds me. Though there be trials, I still can sing. For I have this treasure, my God reigns within me, and I am determined to live for the King. What can stop you? Hell's gates are trembling from our prayers ascending. Darkness is crumbling from praises we sing. Our sovereign, victorious, capital S, capital V, is marching before us. We are determined to live for the King. Bridge, when I am weary, I'll look to his face. When I am tempted, I'll trust in his grace. Yes, I'll trust in his grace. The chorus goes like this. I get goosebumps. I played it this morning in my office several times. I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me. And nothing will shake me, for he'll never forsake me. I am determined to live for the King. Wow. We need to be singing that and saying that and declaring that. That doesn't mean everything's going to go smoothly. No. So could I just, I can hear some of you saying, why do so many people commit and then quit? On a marriage, on a family, on a dream, or even God. Could I tell you in a moment? Could I tell you simply this, what I believe? The reason people quit is because quitting is an option. You hear me? I don't think quitting is an option. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. And most of that's because of our disillusionment, because of our misunderstanding of what we thought the end result. We don't doubt God's call, but we just thought it was going to lead to a desirable result that we could figure out. You don't have any bearing on the outcome. God does. He just wants you to finish. God's looking for finishers. Can you stand and say, by God's grace and power and strength, I am a finisher. I will finish what he's called me to do. No one can stop me. Nothing can hinder me. I can get discouraged. I can feel like quitting, and maybe I've stopped, but I'm going to get up, and I'm going to take one step at a time, because by God's grace, I'm a finisher, and I'm going to declare it now. Anybody can declare I'm a finisher after you finish the race, but it's another thing to declare it when your oxygen's about all gone and your lungs are bursting. It's another thing to declare when you're about ready to fall, I am a finisher by God's grace, and you stagger on. And you might even need to say, help, I've fallen and can't get up. That's a spiritual discipline some of us need to take. Jesus not only responds to that, but sometimes he responds to that through the likes of you and me when we lend a helping hand to somebody who's fallen. Yes? Wow. I think you just need to cross out the quitting option. Because if it is, if it's in the mix, you will. When you feel like giving up, you will, because you've already declared that. I am a finisher, and I'm going to declare it now. Maybe you could pray and say this. Lord, I don't understand this circumstance, this place where I am at. Doesn't mean I did everything right. I don't know. I can't figure it out, but I don't understand. I don't have the answers. But Lord, I trust you. And I was thinking I was clinging to you, but I was clinging to that. So I'm going to let go of that, and I'm going to cling to you, and I will not let go. I'm a finisher. I'm struggling, but I won't quit. Since God is for me and not against me, it's enough. I can do anything through the power of his strength in me. He is the author. He is the finisher of my faith. What he started, he will bring to completion. I'm just the one that goes palms up. I'm available. Here I am. I'm going to invite you to stand with me if you can. I'm going to ask for that mic, Joel, if you would. The band's out. Any singers here too coming to join us? I need all the help I can get. I want you to write this and say it. I want you to say it. I want you to pray it. When I commit, I don't quit. Quitting's not an option. I am a finisher. I want to say it before the race is over. Say it at the beginning of the race. I am a finisher by God's grace in his strength and power. What do I say all the times when you come to the cross and you say a great big yes to Jesus? Y2J, what's that mean? I confess my sin. I repent of it. I turn from my ways and the old ways, and I'm going to live every day for you. And you know what we say? What's our identity now when we say yes to Jesus? I am a child of God. Hey, that means you're a finisher. I'm a child of God. I'm decisive. I'm ready. I'm consistent. I'm devoted. I'm generous. I'm faithful. And by God's grace, I'm mean to finish the race. Amen. Come on, just shout it out one more time. I am a finisher. Come on. I said shout it out. I am a finisher.
by God's grace.